Down to the end of the chapter in verse 24. God's word from 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him everything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. This is the very word of God. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray that these words would make their way from our ears to our minds and to our hearts, and we would be transformed because of them. Holy Spirit, work in us as we seek to know and live your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If anyone needs a Bible, give a little wave, and John will be happy to provide you with one. 1 John is a short letter known by the refrain, that you may know, so that you may know. And this week, we see no difference. So that you may know how to love. And this is somewhat of a familiar refrain for John, the love part, but he really takes it up more significantly now. You ever heard the old phrase, well, his heart was in the right place? It usually accompanies someone who's tried to do something well, but has ended up hurting or gumming it up somehow. And in their failure, someone graciously says, well, I mean, he really blew it, but I think his heart was in the right place. Sometimes it's just used as an excuse for someone who doesn't really have their heart in the right place. They just keep hurting people. I know he's constantly insulting you, but his heart's in the right place. You know, those kind of phrases make it difficult to believe that the person's heart is in the right place. And what John is trying to communicate through these passages today is it has to be a lot more than just your heart in the right place. There has to be a connection between the love of Christ that is in you and the actions that flow out of you. There isn't an excuse that you constantly can be making for hurting someone or saying hurtful things or doing wrong things. There must be a solid connection between the truth that you profess and the actions that flow from that truth. John, throughout the first couple of chapters, has been connecting what we believe with how we live. And he does that by showing us that when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, when we trust Him with our lives for the forgiveness of our sins and for everlasting life, there is this great exchange that takes place. And that is His perfect righteousness is given to us and our unrighteousness is placed upon Him. And this new righteousness, John is saying, should compel us to live a certain way. And so when we get to chapter 3 now, especially these few verses I just read, we see that this righteousness is equating itself with how we love one another. And even if to the point where if we do not love one another well, there is the question of whether or not God's righteousness through Christ is in us. And so we take a good look now at these few verses from 11 down to 24, and how he frames understanding love and connects it to our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ and his gospel. He begins in verse 11 by describing, strangely enough, the origin of love in a very negative type of way. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, verse 11 says, we should love one another. So here's the topic introduced. But then in verse 12, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Now that's a strange way to talk about love, to jump right to Cain and Abel and murdering. There is a commercial back in the 80s. Kelly LeBrock was the model, who famously, after she washed her hair with Pantene, said what? Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. And we laugh at that commercial. And it's funny, but why would someone hate someone else because they're beautiful? Well, we learn it from Cain and Abel. Why is it that Cain hated Abel? I mean, we would understand it if Abel did something evil or wrong or harmed his brother in some way. But Cain hated Abel because he was righteous, because of a good thing. And another way to say that is Cain hated Abel because he was beautiful. And I think what the commercial does and what this account from the very beginning of humankind does for us is to recognize the way in which we can grow jealous and covetous and even angry and hateful and murderous over someone else who is righteous or who is beautiful or who is good. It is a strange means by which we express anger. Why would we express anger and hatred over something or someone who is doing good or being good or showing righteousness? I think what it does is reveals a little bit about our heart. It shows this deceitfulness that we all have. It shows us that our hearts sometimes cannot be trusted. And if jealousy can lead to hatred and hatred could lead to murder, we have to recognize that this reality is true for all of us. Now, it's pretty easy to say, I would never murder anybody. In fact, I rarely even hate someone, and sometimes I get jealous. I understand that. But what's being pointed out to us here is the reality that every human heart is capable of this, of jealousy becoming hatred and hatred becoming murder. And if every human heart is capable of this, then we can't fool ourselves by saying we somehow conjure up love on our own. The origin of love is not from our own hearts, because our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts can be evil. Our hearts are capable of pretty bad things. So if we are not the ones that originate love, where does love originate from? And this is the point that John is trying to get across, though strangely stating it, by describing love through Cain and Abel. What he's saying is don't rely on your own heart and its manufacturing of love, but only rely, trust, and depend upon the love that originates from God through his Son, Jesus Christ, into your life. That's why righteousness is so important, because righteousness is not something that we acquire on our own. It's something that's given to us through Jesus Christ. And this righteousness is what enables us and compels us to love one another well. And I think for many of us, this is a tough idea to get across, because love is an emotional thing. Love is something that we naturally feel towards someone else. It is an attraction. It is something that just happens. And I want to tell you that it doesn't just happen. It is given to us out of his goodness by God. And it is made real in our lives through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. We love because he first loved us. That's the reality. And that's the tough thing for some of us to understand. Our hearts are deceitful. Look at verse 14. We know we have passed from death to life because we love one another. We know that we have been saved, is another way to say that. We were once dead in our trespasses and sin. We were made alive by Jesus Christ. We become new creations in Him. And because of that, we love each other. And He also turns it around. When we love each other, we put on display the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith. It works both ways. Love is both evidence of Christ in us and the reality that we can only love because He is there in the first place. We know that we belong to Christ if we love, because love can't come from anywhere else. It's the gift that comes from salvation, and it's the gift that is the evidence of salvation. It is both. So the origin of love is from God through Christ. Secondly, we see in verse 16, John takes up somewhat of another topic. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. What does it mean to lay down your life for someone? I think the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is to die for someone. But also we've heard laying down your life to mean to be sacrificial, to be unselfish, to do something that puts someone else before ourselves. So we understand that laying down our life isn't just about dying, but that's exactly what Jesus did for us. But there's a certain amount of complexity to what it means to lay down your life for someone, to be unselfish or to be sacrificial. Came across a story this week of a factory worker named Bud who every single day after work, he would come home tired, dirty, and he'd walk in the back door, he'd grab a beer from the fridge, he'd go straight to his recliner, he'd sit down and turn the TV on, and he'd wait for his wife to serve him dinner, which she did faithfully every single day. And this was the ritual of Bud and his wife's life. This is the way they operated. He worked, she served him in every way possible. One day when Bud was driving to work, he heard something on the radio that talked about sacrifice and how if a marriage is going to work, both parties have to sacrifice for one another. And Bud had something of an epiphany. He said, well, maybe I haven't been as sacrificial for my wife as she has been for me. So he decided that day to do something about it. He took a shower and he shaved at the plant, and on the way home, he picked up some flowers. And when he got home, he decided he's going to go to the front door, and he rang the doorbell instead of going in the back. His wife comes to the door and sees him there holding flowers. Tears well up in her eyes, and she said, oh, Bud, today has been the worst day. Billy got in trouble at school. I spent all morning at the principal's office. On the way home, I got a flat tire. And then when I got here, I found that a hose in the washing machine had burst and our basement is flooded. And now you come home drunk. It takes more than one laying down your life to make a difference. Bud could not undo years of selfishness and self-serving nature to somehow magically make everything okay. In fact, in his case, it was so unlike him to be sacrificial or to lay down his life, his wife couldn't possibly believe it. So to lay down our lives is not just once here, once there, maybe do a sacrificial thing, maybe not. It is a lifestyle of sacrifice. It is a lifestyle of unselfishness. It means giving ourselves in a way that would seem impossible if it weren't for something else that fueled us. And now we're back to the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. We are incapable of love without Christ. We are incapable of laying down our lives without Christ. He is both our example and the one who empowers us in this example. And so we see that when Jesus Christ laid down His life, it was, of course, indicative of Him going to the cross. But think about the other ways in which Jesus Christ laid down His life. Simply by leaving the throne room of heaven and dwelling on earth was Him laying down His life and His privileges. By becoming a human being, suffering as we suffered, experiencing all the trials and the tribulations that we go through as human beings, was Him laying down His life. Every single moment of Christ on this earth was an example of Him laying down His life for us. And of course, it culminates in Him sacrificing Himself on the cross for our sake, taking on our sins, giving us His perfect righteousness. Laying down your life is an ongoing, every moment of everyday thing that must first be connected to the gospel. It is a lifetime of sacrifice, not a solitary action. And it is an example of love. James Calvert, one of the missionaries to the Fiji Islands, he was one of the first. And the boat captain who took him to the Fiji Islands, him and his group of missionaries, said, "I can't leave you here. You'll be murdered." And James Calvert famously said, "We died before we ever arrived." Now, did they die literally? No. What they were saying was, our lives are in Christ. We were crucified with Him, and we no longer live. Christ lives in us. And as such, we are able to lay down our lives, even to the point of physical death, but in every single way. James Calvert and the other missionaries were not afraid of physical death in Fiji. They were ready to die physically, but they were also ready to lay down their lives at every turn, in every circumstance, to see that Christ was magnified in the hearts of those there. If you are a Christian, it is because God showed His love for you and gave His only Son, who laid down His life for us. Love is not tacked on to the gospel. Love is the gospel. For many of us, we think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a doctrine that we need to learn. And then love is something that gets added on after we learn the doctrine of the gospel. Folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ at its very center is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Love is at the center. Not to love is not to know the gospel. Look at verse 17. If anyone has material possessions, sees a brother or sister in need, has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? What are they saying? If you see someone else in need, it is important for you to lay down your life so that they might be relieved of their pain, that they might be understanding of what love is all about. It is because Christ is in you that you are able to lay down your life. Verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." In every practical way possible, learn how to lay down your life. So what happens if, in the words of the Righteous Brothers from that great song in 1964, you lose that loving feeling? We all go through that, right? Okay, we understand that we can't love unless Christ first loves us. We know that to lay down our lives is an act of love. We know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son for me, so I am empowered and I am equipped to love others because of Him. What happens, though, when we just don't feel like it? Whether we're irritated or we're having a bad day or things aren't going our way, every one of us in this room has had those moments where we're like, I don't care. I don't love you. I don't want to love you. And usually what occurs after that is a little bit of guilt, right? A feeling of, probably shouldn't have done that because I am a Christ follower and this is a terrible way to witness His love and truth, but it's just what it is. I'm having a bad day. Well, if the heart we saw with Cain and Abel in the first few verses was deceitful, and we have to recognize that, you got to also recognize that our hearts are fickle. And our fickle hearts will take us from one place to another in just a matter of moments. It's the little daisy, right? He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. We feel that way in our hearts sometimes. We don't have that consistency where we can lay down our lives every single moment of every day, where we can feel God's presence. We live in this world that's constantly attacking us, and we're experiencing so many different difficult things that our hearts sometimes are not in the right place. And we are led astray, and we don't love well. What happens? Well, verse 19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. You know that guilty feeling that you feel when you're not wanting to show love to anyone, where you just want to be left alone, where you don't care, and then you feel a little bit bad afterwards? That's your heart condemning you. And what John is saying here is, be at rest with that. Everybody's heart works this way. Remember, it's deceitful and a little bit fickle, but God is in control. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. And then 21, even if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. This is one of those phrases that, all right, if our hearts condemn us, then we are probably experiencing a healthy condemnation. God is saying, your heart is not loving. Something's askew here. Something's not working. Let me draw you back. Let's walk through what you possibly need to confess or to be forgiven of. But if your hearts don't condemn you, the lesson here is continue to do what God commands. Continue to do right. Continue to serve others. You know, and it's not faking it until you make it. That's not the point here. It is your truest self will emerge eventually. If you belong to Christ, Christ has redeemed you, your heart is restored. And so eventually you will move back to that place. Don't confuse your deceitful and fickle heart for God's perfect heart and His intention for you. We do that a lot. When we start feeling something that is other than the love of the gospel and the truth of the gospel, we start questioning God instead of our own hearts, right? I wonder what God is doing. Is He disciplining me? Is this the evil one? It may just be your own heart. It may just be that you are the one that have gone astray and needs to know God's love and forgiveness. John tells us we can relax, especially because of verse 24, the one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. When Jesus left the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, with us, this promise that He would always reside in our hearts and in our lives, He's the one who convicts. He is the one who draws us back to the truth. He is the one who speaks on our behalf to the Father. All of these things are the work of the Spirit in our lives. So if you're feeling convicted, if you're feeling condemned, if you're feeling assured, if you're feeling confident, all of that comes from the work of the Spirit in our lives. He is the one that Jesus has left to us. When our heart condemns us, instead of quitting, surrender to the one who has forgiven us and set us free. Surrender to the work of the Spirit in your life. Surrender to the promise and the hope of the gospel. Lay down your life. One of my favorite songs by Mercy Me is called So Long Self. So Long Self. It's been fun, but I've found somebody else. And the reality of that song and the beauty of it is that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And when our deceitful and fickle heart tries to convince us otherwise, we got to sing that song. So long, old self. It's been fun. I've found someone else. I am renewed. I am redeemed. I am a child of the living God. So, verse 23. Let me end with this. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Notice one thing there. Believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, then love one another? No. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another. Remember, love is at the center of the gospel, but the order is important. We love because He first loved us. If you are not united by faith with Jesus Christ, then your capacity and ability to love as God commands you is impossible. There is no capacity without Christ first being and dwelling in you. Trust Christ first. And because of his love for us, love will spring forth from your own heart. So, when it comes to love, know that love originates first and foremost from God. Understand your own heart. Understand the sin that you are capable of. And you will realize that love cannot originate with you. Secondly, know what the basis of love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we are called to do the same. And finally, know that if your heart condemns you because you haven't been loving well, realize that the gospel is the only way forward. The gospel that saves us is the gospel that carries us home until the day of Christ Jesus. There's nothing new from being saved by his grace and living by something. That's not the way it works. We are saved by his grace and we live by his grace day in and day out. And we love by his grace as well. Will you pray with me?